Rookie Fever, the show that looks closely at NFL rookie values all year long.
Let's go! Let's get this show going, man.
Hurry up, hurry up!
With your hosts, Swagzilla Zero G.
We can't all be winners.
And Mike, the Feverish Fanero.
It's never in a vacuum! Nothing is in a vacuum!
The Rookie Fever Podcast.
We're just having fun and we're working, baby. That's it,
baby. Let's go. Wait, three.
Welcome back to Rookie Fever, episode 371. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. We're having fun, and I'm here as always with the Feverish Fanero.
What up? What up,
Feverish? I think you should introduce our guests this evening.
Oh, sure, I can do that for you. Why not?
Well, why not? Why? Why? Because I don't think I'm that good at it.
That's not right. You can't bail because you're not good at it.
I'm
not right
at
all.
Here. Leaving.
Scott Skildo, how are you? Joining us here on Rookie Fever, Portfolio Dynasty. What up?
From yes, trade sir. Addicts, from Dynasty Junkies.
Yes, sir.
There you go. We yes, just got our double team this.
You've 371 ops. You got it, man.
You've adopted Russ's addiction of just doing too much every night.
Correct. He is the gateway drug, as I say. You know, you get with Russ Fisher and then you get hooked, man.
So he is the marijuana of fantasy football 100%. Podcasts.
That is true. This is factual.
Right.
That's what he should right. change. That's what he should yeah. change his. He'll never change his handle, but that would be awesome.
Outhouse to greenhouse.
At @Scott_Sildo on X Twitter. Scott, I haven't asked this question in a while, but I've got to get this out of my system. Why don't you think you deserve a capital S?
Ooh, good point.
Good question. I think so. I guess to give you the 12-second story of how I ended up with this, I actually had @DynastyBroker because my idea was I'm a real estate broker. And so I thought, oh, Dynasty Broker, let's combine them. And I want to do something called, you know, like the Dynasty Stock Market or something yeah. like that. And then come to find out, you know, Dynasty Wall Street exists and basically was the exact idea that I had. And, well, I love those guys. They're awesome. So I was kind of annoyed, though, because I couldn't use that. I didn't want to be like, you know, whatever. So I was like, you know what? Let's just do this real boring, you know, first last name thing, throw in an underscore. But you got to remember at that time, like I didn't know I'd be podcasting or writing yeah. or be in 50 leagues yeah, or point, be completely point. Obsessed and addicted. And I'm kind of glad I don't have the old, you know, FF thing in there and all that. You know, I just whatever. I don't put a lot out there anyway. I usually just retweet smart people or funny people. So you know.
Smart or funny. I try to be both and fail.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't retweet you a lot, Swags. So.
That was sometimes, both smart and funny.
Sometimes I think my jokes go right over people's heads, and I'm just like, no, that was killer. Like, if
very nice.
So everybody knows why we're here. We want to know how you feel about rookies. You've listened to a couple of the shows. You said you refused to listen to Dynasty Outhouse.
Yeah, I will never listen to that guy.
That's not what he said.
No.
But so today is the second or the third. Anyway, Stefon Diggs was traded today.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And some of the questions we talk about sometimes are like, man, like, I don't know how this quite falls into place, Fanero, but rookies we held on to too much or too long. Does Tank Dell fit that category already, guys?
maybe it's changing quickly over there. There's a lot of mouths to feed, but it's a good thing.
I was looking at that, Swags, because I saw your tweet before the show, and do you know Tank Dell?
Nathaniel,
do you know what he was well, he had 75 targets, but he because he didn't play six games, he was on pace for 130.
Wow.
Now, yeah, it is a shit ton. Now, Nico, very similarly, well, no, I'm sorry, not Nico, but Nico had 110 last season, and then you had Robert Woods with 75. So Woods is gone, right? Woods isn't going to get those, so he hit those 75 are up for grab. And I know there's plenty of listeners that hate this whole target counting thing, but I just wanted to take a look at how this affected Stroud in particular. Stroud had 499 pass attempts last year. I think he goes over 600 with Diggs. I really do. I'm not giving it all to Tank Dell. I knocked Tank Dell down. I knocked Brown way down. I have Nico as a wide receiver too, and I think he belongs there. I think Diggs winds up with 130 himself. And if you add it up, there's like 71 targets to running backs, 50 to other wide receivers. You just add it up, it's pretty easily just above 600. 620 is what I came up with. And last year, 612 was the high. I think Stroud's got a huge bump up with the step Diggs.
Yeah. I don't hate that. Now, do you think that they're going to run the ball a little bit more now that they have Joe Mixon too, though?
I think they're going to pass it just as much to Mixon. So I feel like it just goes into Stroud's pocket again. But no, I don't think they're going to run the ball necessarily more than they did. I think we think they are going to run it more because they weren't that effective at it last year. I think they'll just be more effective at it and run it the same amount. I think they're going to they got Diggs for a reason. They are going to pass the ball this year. I'm super, super thrilled for Stroud if we're talking, you know, rookies or rookie rewinds on this show.
So of those three players, who are you guys buying? Diggs, Nico, or Tank?
Whoever's value's down. So probably Nico.
I feel like it's Nico.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds right.
Yeah.
I wonder after a while if Diggs will get cheaper because it just happened now. I think people, but just before this, people were so down on Diggs, right? So maybe that starts to settle down again. And if I'm on a win now, maybe I go grab me some Diggs.
Well, I think you absolutely, not to counter that, but I feel like this is like people got excited because of this trade for Diggs. I think his value went up a little bit, and I think. He's easier to sell than ever.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a good window if you want to move on.
I had a trade that I sent out 2 days ago, and you guys will probably hate this trade, but I was sending my Stephon Diggs to get Javonte Williams, and while I was at work today, that trade was accepted after the news, which made me feel like this guy got a warm fuzzy because of the news.
Oh, he did.
And I kind of was still just like, yeah, okay, cool.
You were probably like, oh, cool, now it got done. I was hoping it would get done, and now it's done. Yeah, I get it.
I mean, I don't look at Diggs as that Larry Fitzgerald type that's just going to keep around until he's 35, and we're going to be passing him around leagues to contenders. I don't look at Diggs like that. But that's just me.
So I think you got to look at, you know, how much of it was being disgruntled, how much of it was switching the offense in the middle of the season. But I know some of the metrics guys will tell you he was pretty bad from, you know, PFF grades and yards per route run and all those things. And, you know, it depends on how much you want to buy into that. But I think if you have several shares, you know, moving one for Javonte, I think is kind of you're moving some risk for safety almost. And then probably upside too, just from the standpoint of how much upside does Diggs really have? I mean, he's still going to continue aging at this point. You know, he's not getting younger. So all the ageists in your league are out on him already, just based on that factor alone. So, yeah, I don't hate it.
I am an ageist. And I think Javonte at 23 years old is a little undervalued for how he finished the season. So,
yeah. Probably is.
I agree.
Scott, thanks a ton for being on. I think it's time that Finero starts to find out how you feel about rookies.
Scott, since you mentioned being a realtor, I'm going to give you a unique question. It's not even going to sound fantasy related, but trust me, it'll get there. In real estate, what room or upgrade can you do to your home to have the highest return on your investment?
Yep. It's always going to start with the kitchen. Right. And then, you know, bedrooms and bathrooms. But yeah, starts with the kitchen. Always.
Always. Always. Mm-hmm. Nothing like the roof or HVAC system. Nothing like that. It's kitchen all day.
I mean, those things are important, but I always equate it to, like, you know, people want the red Camaro. They don't care if it was driven by a teenager. You know, they're going to take that over the beige Toyota that was driven by a mechanic. Right. Yeah, I prefer those things because then I can come in and make it my own, but not everybody's going to do that, right?
All right. Well, take that analogy into this next question. What one trait whether that's college production, measurables, draft stock, landing spot, you name it, is your strongest indicator for success of a rookie.
Ooh, okay.
So think about your rookie drafts. Think about your rankings. Think about when you get really hot and heavy about a player. What's that one thing that gets you all hot and heavy? Is it ridiculous college production and you just hang your hat on that and say, you know what? They were in the SEC, blah, blah, blah. You just do that. Or is it more like, no, man, like I'm telling you right now, if they're a first round pick, I'm in, especially if they were high on my list beforehand. Or maybe it's not that at all. Maybe you're just like, opportunity is completely underrated. It's where they go. Like people don't pay enough attention to opportunity. Yeah. Or it could be anything else you could think of.
Yeah. So I'm going to say, I mean, obviously there's a lot of ways you can go with this, but if you go to the school of, you know, draft capital will mm-hmm. encapsulate all of the, you know, yeah. production and metrics and all those things, measurables, then I think that's pretty important. But I'm going to have to say landing spot, just from the standpoint of, even though I'm still like a talent over landing spot guy, at the end of the day, landing spot is probably the number one thing that moves a player. You know, CEH would be a great example of a guy that, like, yeah, some people liked him. He was kind of in that group of, you know, the top guys or the second tier. But as soon as he went to the Chiefs, it was like, boom, through, you know, he was the guy. He moved up to the top of the tier or even to number one for some people. So that can have the biggest impact on others, which therefore impacts what I'm going to do, whether I'm in or out. It's going to have an impact on the market as a whole, which then will make my decisions maybe easier sometimes. But I think that would be the kitchen is the landing spot, because that's the first thing you're going to start with analyzing, you know, who else is there, who's throwing on the ball, what kind of offense is it, you know, all those things. Right. So I think I would have to go with the landing spot, hence the situation.
Nice. Yeah. I could not have asked for a better answer to that question. I like that you wrapped it right back to the kitchen, because I think I was thinking the same thing when you mentioned it. Like, as you're mentioning, you know, landing spot being so important, you're still mentioning, yes, this is, and yes, this is, but draft stock kind of combines that. And you know what I mean? Like, so just like I was saying, well, what about the roof? And what about the HVAC system? Right. What about the things that increase the value? You're like, yeah, but you know what? The value, and that's why I loved what you said so much about your answer. It wasn't so much just from your perspective. It was like, well, my perspective is affected by value, right? So I'm just answering your question based on, you know, what's really going to do it. And that's what you said with the kitchen. You know what's really going to do it for buyers? It's the crown jewel, the Lamborghini, the sports car in the middle of the house. That kitchen is going to drive business. So
one for one, baby. All right, let's wrap this up. And good night.
I feel like there's an obvious problem with me, though, because the first thing I did when I bought my home was got that Lennox air conditioner added on right away.
Oh, yeah.
And I got no regrets.
That you use 4 months a year. But yeah.
I'm taking the Toyota driven by the mechanic.
Yep. And, no, that's the way to do it. That's what I preach. But ultimately, people are going to do what they do.
Scott, say what you want. Those were four happy months.
No, I'm all about the AC, man. I'm in the basement. I mean, it's snowing out today, but I'm still down here, and I'm in shorts. I love it.
But I don't often take notes throughout a show, but I wrote down 1, 2, 3, kitchen, bed, bath. So kitchen's coming next, baby.
Yes, sir.
I never take notes down, but I took down those. All right, Scott, the question everybody gets, doesn't matter where you're from or what you do for a living, what do rookies mean to you? Very, very open-ended, far more open-ended than the other one. What do rookies mean to you?
Yeah, there's a lot of different angles you can come at it from. So I think the way that it first hit me when I thought about this question was basically thinking of myself as a kid, you know, playing football and watching the draft. I was obsessed with the draft from as young as I could remember, and just watching these guys' stories and, you know, seeing the teams and, you know, Mel Kiper on ESPN doing the breakdowns. Yeah. He was the only guy who did it, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, so I mean, there's a, you know, hope. You know, it means hope. It means fun. It means intrigue. It means, challenge, enjoyment, disappointment. It means lessons. It means opportunities, right? Like, I mean, you could insert 1,000 words, and that's about the extent of my vocabulary. So I'll stop there. But you know, I think it's to me now as a portfolio dynasty player. I mean, it means, I guess, whatever word is. So I guess we could use opportunity. It's the one thing that can change your fortunes. Very quickly, one way or another, right? You know, did you draft Justin Jefferson or did you draft Jalen Reagor? You know, but that one guy can change everything for you. Did you end up with the fourth pick last year and you got CJ Stroud and you were kind of like bummed, but you really wanted the quarterbacks? You said, I'll just take Stroud because Richardson's gone and Bryce Young's gone. And then, man, how beautiful did that work out, right? Yeah, I mean, it represents a lot of things, hope and fun and disappointment too. But I think to me, opportunity, there's currency, maybe could be another way to say it, right? Currency. Rookies are the thing that moves your leagues along. It's the one time everybody's together or at least paying attention, active when you're doing your rookie draft, you're making moves, you're able to change the fortunes of your team. You know, that's really the one time a year you can guarantee that everybody's trying to do something, or most everybody in most leagues.
Yeah, I love that. You made me think of sorry, Fenero. You made me think of so going back to Tank Dell super quick. Sorry. Somebody today had the question, Tank Dell or 109.
Oh, I saw that.
And most people were the 109. No, the 109. I think was losing by a little bit. Actually, Tank Dell was winning, and I said the problem with this is everybody's imagining who they can get at 109 and not what they can get for 109. And I think you could do better than Tank Dell with your 109 was my point. So my point was kind of like get that currency and move it for something that's not Tank Dell or the 109. I want to take a quick minute, though, for you to try to explain to some of our listeners, because some of our listeners are wondering what the hell is Portfolio Dynasty.
Yes.
So what do you actually do with all those leagues? Because you mentioned to us before we started recording, you're in around 50 leagues, and you use them as a tool as well.
That's right. Yes, exactly. It's good to talk about this early. So this is kind of where my perspective comes in. I'm not a guy with a model. You know, I do watch some film and stuff, but that's really, you know, for my own, just to put my own eyes on it. But my perspective is having my own market, essentially, right? Like 50 leagues in the grand scheme of things is not very much, but compared to somebody in 5 leagues, I mean, it's 10 times more information, right? So I'm seeing things that are happening quickly. I'm seeing things across varying you know, settings and styles and formats. And so being able to utilize that and then being able to take advantage of doing process trades and things like that. So a portfolio player, I would say, is anybody. I mean, you could essentially approach a portfolio starting at about 15 to 18 leagues, in my opinion. It might be a little bit more than that for most of the tools that I utilize. But the easiest way to explain it is you think about if you have like a 401k or you have a Roth IRA, something, you know, some retirement account, right? And you're going to diversify it to some standpoint. You know, you might put a little bit in, you know, stocks, you might put a little bit in like gold, you might put some in cryptocurrency, you might put some in international, you know, whatever, right? You're doing different things. I kind of do the same thing where I have my standard, you know, 12 team leagues. I also have some 14, some 16. I have some 48 team leagues, multiple copies. I have some Debbie leagues. I have some dynasty best ball leagues. I have some one quarterback leagues left, amazingly. But I have, you know, a varying degree of leagues, which allows me to try different strategies in real time. You know, if you want to try a strategy and you only have so many leagues, it might take you 3 or 4 years to go through a couple of different things and see what works for you. And by then, everything's changed, right? Now I can try so many things in real time. And that really helps me to, you know, I have to be able to communicate that. But ultimately, if I can, and I do it effectively, I can really help people kind of shorten the learning curve in a lot of ways.
Yeah. I think something else I do with that is, like, being in a lot of leagues is, like, we'll use Diggs as an example just for conversation's sake. But, I mean, any player. Say I'm on Rookie Fever here with you guys, and I'm like, Stefan Diggs is an absolute sell. And I'm getting off the show, and I'm going to sell him before we drop this show. And I'm going to go hard in all my leagues with Diggs, and I'm going to try to sell him. And it's not working out how I thought it was going to. Next week, I might have realized, you know what, I ended up buying some Diggs because I realized people liked him less than I thought. And he might be a bad example right now, but I think sometimes you do get to that point where you're like, okay, I thought people were into this, but everybody hates him. So now I'm going to go buy Javonte Williams, or, you know what I mean? I do that a lot where yes. It's just like, okay, because a lot of times, like, what we see on Twitter where we socialize the most isn't really what's happening in our leagues. Like, you exactly. can see something on Twitter all day, people just blowing smoke, and you go to any of your leagues and that's not what's happening. We're a little wiser than Twitter as a community, even though we act irrationally together.
Yeah, very, very true. Very true. And the I guess the main thing about portfolio standpoint is that you can kind of treat it more as like a commodity. So even though it's a play, insert player name, you might have feelings about X player, but you can also you can work with profiles, and you can work with, you know, let me find positions or whatever, as opposed to just having to go on a name and just having to pick a name. Because, I mean, none of us know. The NFL can't even get it right. How are we going to get it right? Sure, sometimes you get lucky and sometimes you don't. But I want to put the odds in my favor, right? So I'm going to do what's most likely to happen, and then I'm going to make moves based on that. And so it allows me to just kind of zoom out a little bit and take like a more of a macro approach to it, and be able to say, hey, over here, I can take a little less for this guy because it means I can move him. And then over here, I can pay a little bit more for a guy because maybe in this format, he's more valuable. Mm. But at least I have multiple things going on at one time. It's very common that I, you know, like you just said, Swags, I might be thinking that guy's a sell, and then I end up actually buying some because based on, you know, the price, it's not so much about the player really, but it's about the price and the value and how they fit in with my portfolio and what I'm trying to do. So I look at it as a whole, as opposed to just one player, one league, one trade. I'm looking at that across, you know, I have 12 shares of this guy. I'll absolutely move him because I want to diversify the risk, or, you know, whatever it may be. So it's just a little bit different way of looking at it. But ultimately, when it comes down to rookies, there's just no way to remove the emotion, because that's what's so fun about it, right? And trying to find the right guys. So that's where the rookie fever kicks in.
We are just a little over 3 weeks away from that big moment where you remember as a kid watching with Mel Kiper, and now it's probably wow, there's probably a lot of ways to watch it today. What do you think this time of year, just 3 weeks, a little over that away, biggest mistake people make this time of year?
I think the biggest mistake. I think a common mistake I see is people moving picks a little bit too early. I don't know if it's the biggest mistake, but I think it's you know, a lot of times I'll see people will send in questions, even on, you know, our podcast, we'll get questions. Hey, I have the 104, so, you know, should I be targeting this guy or this guy? Like, dude, I don't know. Is your draft tomorrow? Like, there's so much is going to change in the next month. Like, there's just so many variables and so many factors. So I want to work with the most information, but at the same time, like, we can have a process to put in place and move some things where we think. So I'll kind of break things up into like early picks, mid picks, late picks. If I have, you know, last year I had like 12 104s. So I obviously moved a bunch of them. Now many of those turned into Stroud. So maybe I didn't win, but what if they were all Bryce Young? You know, right. So that's something that I see a lot of people just trying too hard to predict those things in a way that can be too much risk, if you're in two leagues and, you know, you give up the 102 because you think whoever that player is going to be, or you acquire the 102, I mean, that's still an unproven, you know, whereas I'd rather get the proven players at this point. So give me the, I'm not trading a stud for three picks. You know, I'm more the guy who's going to trade the three picks for the stud, even though it's more fun to have those picks. We all know that, but I'd rather get the proven commodity this time.
I find myself probably not in the driver's seat for 2024. I looked at my much smaller portfolio of 10 leagues, and I don't have a lot of high draft picks. So I'm going to have to either buy in or do a little watching. But it's this is not going to be my favorite offseason.
You know, something I notice a lot on the place we just spoke of, Twitter, is... Gosh, okay, I can be a dick, so I'll just say it. But like, you'll have these people giving advice, and they're like, I have lots of 101s and I have lots of 102s, so this is what I'm doing. And I'm thinking, well, you just hold on yourself a little bit. Maybe if you have lots of 101s and 102s, we don't want to listen to what you're doing.
That is a fine point, sir.
Oh, that's I'm just saying.
It's a very good point.
Because you don't just trade for those picks. They're not easy to acquire.
That's not
those picks.
More often than not, I agree with you. So if you
what are you
going to
do with your 103? Well, this is the third year in a row I've been in the top three, and this is what I did.
Scott, you said Panthers of Dynasty.
Scott, you said emotions kick in when rookie fever's boiling. When, like I said, it's just it's on a high simmer right now, but it's going to be boiling soon. Did rookie fever ever fool you?
Man, so many times. So many times. You know, I've learned a lot over the years, and it's not lost on me the fact that I kind of got into this whole thing from Dynasty Outhouse, Russ Fisher allowing me to host a Trade Addicts podcast, and then bringing me back a couple weeks later and doing a 2.5 hour show on rookies, where I just kept going all in on Herbert, and you know, and then he hits, and I mean that turned out beautifully.
Feels
but,
great.
But can I, you know, for every Herbert, you know, how many others went the complete opposite way? And I think, you know, for me, I've identified what I tend to fall for and what tends to be my downfall. So, I mean, pretty much any big bodied X wide receiver, that's going to be my guy. So I'm going to try not to draft those guys as much. I mean, how many Hakeem Butlers and JJ Arcega Whitesides and,
you were going to have that Josh Rosen stack.
So, yeah.
Very nice stack.
Yeah. I mean, interestingly enough, I've found that my most common flaw now is being right about not being in on a rookie. So AJ Dillon, for example, zero rookie shares. And if you can imagine 50 leagues, how many draft picks that is, and to not have any shares, I was out. Okay. And and yet by like year two or three, I end up with like 8 or 9 shares because, you know, he's so discounted and you buy him think, oh, it's a good offense. And what if Aaron Jones gets hurt? Right. And then, it's almost like a delayed rookie fever, right? Because you kind of get back in. I did the same thing with Justin Fields, zero rookie share. As soon as he went to Chicago, it was over. I don't care the talent or whatever. Chicago will absolutely ruin every quarterback. So I just knew I'm not going to draft him. And then, you know, after his rookie year, I end up with, I think, you know, 4 or 5 shares. So, those big bodied X wide receivers, man, they littered my benches in leagues for years and years and years. So the emotion part of it is fun. Right. It is fun. That's what's fun. And so I've got to do it anyway, because it's fun.
Right.
But I'm trying to now, use it against my league mates more than fall for it myself. Right. So I said it just a few minutes ago, and I said I'm more going to be the guy that's going to trade away the picks to get the proven commodity versus, you know, trading a proven commodity for the picks. Now, that's not a blanket statement, but I'm just saying I'm not going to trade Josh Allen for four first. I'm just not going to do it because, you know, that could turn into anything, right? It could be Josh Rosen and Jalen Reagor and Akeem Butler and, you know.
All the above,
So,
There have been a few people on the show recently have kind of made that point, too, that they are willing to pay up for that proven rookie, even in his rookie year or the next year. Like, once you know about Stroud, you will. I mean, Stroud's a tough pry. I try to send out a lot of trades, and he's been tough to acquire. But once you know about things like Stroud, you're willing to pay up for them.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, conversely then, Scott, how do you or can one use Rookie Fever against their league mates?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I know there are a lot of guys out there that have preached about, you know, have notes on your league mates, and people tend to, you know, the history repeats itself, right? And we know what people like to do. But when you're in 50 leagues, that's really not possible.
That's out the window.
You know,
Your day job.
and I know, like, I guarantee Russ would say that he'll be in the chat, like, stirring things up because I'm in a lot of leagues with Outhouse, and that's what he does. So that's a great approach. But again, that's not going to be for me. I just can't be in every chat. I think it's really sticking to a process, regardless of the emotion, regardless of the fever, regardless of the excitement. And so I really try to put things in perspective beforehand. You know, the first couple months of this year, or after the Super Bowl or around the Super, you know, February, March, I'm putting together a list of all the picks that I have. You know, how many 101s, 102s, 103s, and I'll do that all the way through the third round, and eventually it'll just be early thirds, mid thirds, late thirds. I don't care if it's the 309 or the 310. But I'll start making lists like that and understanding how many picks I have in those ranges. And if I feel like looking at the class, looking at my needs, looking at mostly more so the talent than necessarily the needs, but obviously some teams are going to be different than others. And some leagues I have 28 man rosters, and some leagues I have 50 man rosters. So those are going to be treated differently. But just to look at as a whole, I want to understand where is the value in my portfolio, what positions am I attacking, and then if I have, you know, 50 early thirds and I don't have any late thirds, or seconds would probably be a better example, then I'll probably try to move some of those around a little bit ahead of time, or just know going into drafts that I'm going to be targeting moving those out. And so that's where I'll try to take advantage a little bit, just having a game plan for each league. So when those drafts start, I know people are going to want to move up and get their guy. I mean, there's always going to be at least a couple. And so I'm going to make sure I'm on top of that. I may reach out privately. I may throw it in the chat. It just depends on the vibe in the league and what's going on. But I'm going to make sure that they know that my picks are available. And a lot of times I'm willing to, you know, kick it back a year, essentially. Yeah, give me a 25 first for the 110. You know, being willing to make those moves to keep my roster flexibility and my fluidity, because that 110, once the player's picked, that's it. It's him, right? And so no matter what happens from that point, you got to hope that the player, you know, goes up in value somehow or produces on the field. But if I can flip it back to a 25 first, now that I could turn that into anything that I want or need as the season goes on.
Yeah. Once the dumb kid drives the shiny red sports car off the lot, you don't know what's going to happen to it.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a great answer. You kind of encapsulated everything another one of my questions was going to hit. So you ate up two questions there. So you're definitely still batting 1,000, Scott. No doubt about that.
Uh-oh, it's all downhill from here, guys. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm setting you up for a bad one now. I'm going to trip you up pretty bad. This is a tougher question for just memory's sake, but do you remember what your favorite move or trade was during a rookie draft? Like, I think the only reason I even added this to my sheet, and the listeners don't need to hear mine again, is because I had one I really remembered. It doesn't mean you do, because you have so many leagues, and I'm trying to give you as much time as I can by making this question sound much longer than it is, because it's really simple, short question, but it's hard to remember. But I feel like a lot of people might remember their least favorite. So if you want to go
that's what I was going to say. I've got a million stories about the times it didn't work out, more so than the times it did. I mean, you know, in that Herbert class, I was moving up even one pick, two picks, three picks, whatever I had to do to secure him in like every draft. And obviously that was such a beautiful thing. I had obviously no idea he would be as good as he was, but, yeah, I mean, most of them are, you know, one that always sticks in my mind. I mentioned Hakeem Butler earlier. So this was a league, this was, when I was really starting to get into Dynasty. And I think I had the 108 and the 110, or the 109 and the 111, and another guy in the league had a 108 and a 110. Somehow we made a trade that he was one spot in front of me for both picks. And I had like two receivers and two tight ends that I liked, and I could be mixing draft classes. I'm pretty sure these were the players, but so he took a receiver, and then I was like, oh, this is perfect. I'm going to take this guy. I like this guy better anyway. And then he took a tight end, and then I took the other one, and I was thrilled. And he got AJ Brown and TJ Hockenson, and I got Hakeem Butler and Noah Fant.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So, you know, just little things like that, that all you'll never forget it. You never forget that. And now, I mean, it's almost scarred me to the point where, like, if somebody has a pick in between me like that, I'll throw them a fourth just to, you know, move one pick or whatever. Or I'll be like, listen, I'll tell you who I'm targeting. Just let's not screw it up this time.
You released some of my trauma earlier when you're like, oh yeah, you know, like those moves where people drafted Rager instead of Jefferson. I'm like, he knew that was me. He knew. He knew when he said that was me.
Yes.
Yeah, that was me.
I will never tell anybody who I'm picking.
It depends. But yeah, like a safe league league? No, I'm not. But
nowhere, never. I have some deep-rooted trust issues, and there's no freaking way I'm letting you know who I'm picking.
I love it. No, I mean, I got the guy I wanted. It just didn't turn out. You know what I mean? So, like,
you were happy as shit.
You know, there was in my home league, I was talking to my buddy, and I didn't realize that two other picks had gone, and he was on the clock. And we both like really want to draft quarterbacks, and he ends up taking Mac Jones, and he was the last guy left of all those quarterbacks at the time. And then, you know, I got stuck with like Javonte Williams or something. And then let's look back a couple years, and not that Javonte has been something spectacular, but I'm still a lot more thrilled, obviously, to have Javonte than Mac Jones. So, I mean, you really don't know how it's going to turn out.
I think Javonte is an absolute buy right now.
I agree.
Finero, really quick, I know you got more questions, but I thought of something. So our good friend of the show, friend of us, Jason DiRienzo at All Purpose Scout on X Twitter mentioned that he has rookie fatigue.
Mm.
And the first thing I wanted to say was, I told you so. But how do you feel about that? Do you guys have rookie fatigue right now? And I thought people would sort of hit it, and it's right before the draft. It's about to pick back up. I think people did go into it a little too hard and a little too early this year for zero reason except for clicks. And that's aside from like the Devy community that does this all year round. I'm talking about everybody else. I think they went too hard, and I'm not surprised that we've seen some of the rookie talk fade away. I feel like we have so many missed opportunities in this when we're dealing with vets through free agency and different ways to build the teams than just being so rookie-centric. Now I'm just talking. But did we hit a wall?
We always do, though. We always do. I mean, when you start seeing the stories of, like, Jim Harbaugh's trading Herbert, and he's going to draft J.J. McCarthy, like, that's it. I'm done listening to you. If you say that, it's probably an unfollow, maybe a mute, depending on how much credibility you've built up. But I mean, it starts with, you know, the media and the actual draft. And when you start seeing like these, you know, these crazy, you know, the Chiefs are going to trade to, or the Bills are going to trade to one, and they're trading Josh Allen to the Bears, and they're going to take Caleb Williams because they're resetting their roster. Like, just stop. just stop, guys. Yeah. Like, it just gets out of control. So, I mean, I think that's where it starts, because there's only so much you can talk about. And then you start talking about how, you know, oh, Marvin Harrison's actually the third best receiver in this class because, you know, what? Because you're sick of talking about greatness for like 2 years or 3 years or whatever it's been. I mean, people just, yeah, the fatigue this time of year, it's inevitable. So I generally try to start early on all that just so I can still be excited. And then now I will fade away from it a little bit, but I'm still going to keep an eye on it from like an NFL perspective and listen to, you know, follow my favorite, you know, beat reporters and insiders. And I want to hear what they have to say. I want to hear, you know, who they're talking to and their buzz and all that, because that's fun.
Yep.
Right. And who knows how much of it's real or whatever. It doesn't even matter. It's just fun to hear about, to think about incredible sources, not just, you know, some fantasy guy throwing something up out there about, you know, trading Herbert or whatever. I mean, just.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, even to that point, a different direction with it. But sometimes you'll see a trade hit your inbox and, you know, everything, you know, up to the minute that trade hit your inbox. But you're still like, wait, I got to check on this real quick. I got to see what they're talking about right now.
Exactly. Yes. Yes.
I want to say two things. One is we definitely don't want to forget about the kitchen, right? You said earlier, right, that landing spots were so important. And the earlier we start analyzing these rookies means we could have up to 3 months of talking about rookies. And when we talk about rookies, we're primarily talking about, you know, the skill position rookies, right? The NFL draft and NFL teams are about a lot of other players, cornerbacks and defensive ends. And, you know, we sometimes get so baked in. So this is what I tend to do this time of year is I turn the fantasy channel off. And when I say the fantasy channel, I'm talking about this world of Twitter and everything that we've been referring throughout this show. And I turn the NFL channel.
He literally does, though. Like, you hardly see Finero on Twitter at all.
I turn the NFL channel on, which is I like listening to what Danielle Jeremiah is saying. Yeah. I like to listen to see what my Giants are going to be doing. I like to listen to see some of the upcoming teams, what they might be doing. I like little trade rumors. Like, that stuff's really fun. Like, and I feel like if you're spending too much time and focus on one thing, when we all truly know, even they know, that it's going to radically change once they have a uniform. It's just going to radically change. Yep. And if you don't think that and you don't admit that, then you're lying to yourself and whoever you're trying to talk to. And if you look at analysis, it is much better. It is much sharper after we know what scheme they're going to be in, what head coach they're going to be with, what depth chart they're going to be on. I mean, come on. It's not just landing spot is not just a singular thing. It is several things that affect the player. And we see it time in and time out.
Yeah.
But yet somehow, if we talk about the same 12 players in the first round over and over again for 3 months, we're going to be more prepared for our rookie drafts. And I just don't see how that's possible. I think what's more possible is overthinking, overanalyzing, and that's how you wind up with Rager and not Jefferson. You know what I mean? I truly believe that. I do. I think if you have your ear open to just this fantasy channel the entire time, you're missing out on everything else. And everything else is significant.
I feel like you unknowingly just called rookies central air. Because you kind of don't know. It's the 3 months, 4 months, like Scott said. You don't know exactly what the weather's going to be. But there's still like a nice, man, 4 months. So fun.
Nice 4 months. You love that 4 months. You still love that decision.
The realtor, I'm excited to turn it on. Like, get hot.
Realtor's telling you that your house value is going to significantly raise with that kitchen. And you're like, but Scott, those 4 months were amazing.
I got to be cold, baby.
I'm taking a picture of it for you guys tomorrow.
Oh, I want to see it. I want you to take the cover off. I want to see inside that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I don't want to see just the dirty outside. I want to see the beautiful see those coils.
Yeah. We'll get right down to the nitty gritty.
And make sure it's running. I want to see how smooth it is.
unless it's under 45, don't turn it on. You might damage it.
Swags, your last question to Scott, I loved, and I loved his answer, but I've loved all of his answers. I'm ready to move on to the draft, but before I do, I wanted to make sure you didn't have any of those juicy questions that you just dished out.
I don't think I do. I'm sure I'll think of something while you're talking. That's usually how it works.
You could always do that. You could always just be, because Scott's going to need some time to think about this one. Scott, you are now going to be entered into the best landing spots for 2024. This is not a quarterback landing spot. You can pick tight end, running back, or wide receiver, and any team. However, 9 picks have already been picked. You are at the 110
position. So, Gallup running back. Or whatever.
Right. I'm going to give it. Yeah. Dallas running back is also one of the ones that has already been chosen.
So
I'm going to go through the 101 to 109 so our listeners remember what's already been picked, and it also buys you a little bit of time.
Sure.
All right. So John Hogue went Arizona wide receiver. Michael Sipes from HQ went Miami tight end. Madman, co-host over there at Dynasty HQ, Cleveland running back. Heath Cummings goes with a nice one, maybe should have been the 101. Running back, Chargers. Yeah. John Lobb, another nice one that looks even nicer now. Buffalo wide receiver. People will go nuts. People will go nuts if Buffalo picks a wide receiver early. There's no doubt about that. Brandon goes Cowboys. Brandon Lejeune goes Cowboys running back. That's a juicy one. Jason followed up as a homer. Chicago wide receiver. Matt went Chargers wide receiver. And that's another nice one. And Russ went Steelers last week. Russ went Steelers wide receiver.
Steelers wide. Okay. Okay. Okay.
So tons of spots left.
Yeah.
It's getting tougher.
But some of the easy or low-hanging fruit's probably gone. I have... Swags and I are going to record our own shows at some point, so we're going to have to make a pick. I don't even know if we're going to
snipe him.
I don't even know what it is, but
well, snipe him.
I have one that I think that if we don't wait too much longer, I'll still get. But I think people are starting to zone in on this one too.
Yeah. So I was going to talk through a few, but I won't do that since you're going to do some more. But I will just mention Charger. So one of the things I do is a deep dive on any new head coaches or offensive coordinators, nice. Basically Very any good. New system. Okay. And yep. I want to go back and look at history, whether they were the ones, creating the scheme or calling the plays. So whether that's head coach or OC, it doesn't matter. Who did that and what did they do in the past? And I actually have been a fan of Jim Harbaugh since I was in the womb because he was at Michigan and then Chicago. So, I mean, if you play for both of my teams, and so I've seen every snap of Michigan football since I was 9 years old in 1993. And I think people have Harbaugh is what he is. I don't think people are wrong about that. But I think they just take it too far. Whether I don't know, they think they're just being cool or cheeky or whatever. But if they just think that, Gus Edwards is going to have 400 carries this year, he has Justin Herbert, he has an offense. That's just, yes. Will they be run centric? Sure. But that doesn't mean they're not going to be, even a 47, percent 53-47 rush to pass ratio is still a lot of pass attempts. Yeah. So I think Chargers pass catcher is a big one. And I think somebody said receiver, but that offense run through the tight end. So I could see that. So the Chargers pass catcher, they will add one at some point, maybe not with pick 5. I expect them to trade back. But whether it's a tight end or a receiver, I will be in on that player because, listen, you have Justin Herbert. If you think Harbaugh is just going to have him handed off 48 times a game, then I don't know what to tell you other than, maybe join my dynasty leagues. I think I'm going to go with I'm going to stick with the receiver position. It's what I know best. And I'm debating between two teams. And I think because one of them is one of your teams, I'm going to go that way. I'm going to go with the Giants wide receiver.
Nice.
I'm going to go there. I think that could have a big impact on that offense, and I think their defense might struggle a little bit. It'll be a competitive division, and somebody's going to have to pull some targets from Darius Slayton and Wandale Robinson. So, and I don't believe in Darren Waller in any form or fashion. So
he might retire, right? I mean, maybe.
Yeah, he's whatever. He's toast. So Bellinger, like good pick. Player. I like him, but I'm going to go with Giants wide receiver. I believe whether it's their first pick or their second or third, they're going to definitely add somebody we like.
The biggest, you know, heat map for the Giants is trading up for a QB or staying right where they are for Malik Nabers. Yeah. So if you put Malik Nabers there and you look at their crew right now, Hyatt looks like a field stretcher, kind of a gadgety. I don't want to say gadgety. Flanker is better. Thank you.
Yeah.
But the alpha's not on that team.
Correct.
There's no doubt about that. So especially if they go sixth overall, that's going to look like a pretty position. You did not take mine. That's great.
I know. I could tell he didn't snipe you by your reaction. I really wanted to get that damn it moment. And I was like, man, we missed it. But that's I felt like that was the best odds of sniping him, Scott. So
yeah,
good to know your room a little bit. But
yeah. No, he went for it, too. He had two choices and he went for it. But.
Scott, we'll say 50 leagues for conversation's sake that you're in.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I'm guessing that you have some J.K. Dobbins.
Not much because you went to that one. There, he played at that one school. But
that you will take for him?
I actually, I don't know if I have any shares. I might have one somewhere. Yeah. I mean, if somebody offered me a third,
I'm going to offer you a 406.
Could I get a third? No.
I'm offering you a 406.
You know what? I think I'll hang on just from the standpoint of if he signs somewhere.
He just signed in Kansas City.
He did? Is that real?
He did meet with them the other day.
And then they ended up signing Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
All right. So I made that up.
Yeah. Oh.
I made that up. But how did that make you feel? How did that make you feel?
Oh, to me, I could care less, but somebody might be excited.
Yeah, there you go.
So then I'll sell them then.
So how would that make me feel? It would make me feel like going to my computer and trying to sell the remainder of my Dobbins shares while the hype is hot. That's how I would feel.
Could I add a fourth and get a third? Dobbins and a fourth to get a third? I mean, once you sign somewhere, not today.
Give me the 402?
Yeah, give me the 402.
310?
308. Yeah, whatever. 310.
I might do that. Yeah, I'd probably do that. If I had the roster space, I think I would do that.
See, that's the thing this time of year. That's the thing is people, I know I got to cut some players, rookie drafts, maybe rosters expand, whatever. But those are the moves I like to make where they're like, oh, I only have to move back 8 spots and I get this guy. Fine, because the roster spot is worth more to me. So
yeah,
I have
been trying to no avail, but relentlessly to give you your quarterback handcuffs and just move up a little bit, even if it's just a couple spots. Like
love it.
Here, Josh Allen owner, here is Mitch Trubisky,
yes,
and that same 402. I want your 307, but I'm often rejected.
Really?
Yep.
They're not going to the Scott Connor school of portfolio dynasty then, because that should be an accept. But I love it.
It should be. I mean, I think it would be. But at the same time, I wouldn't accept it.
Yeah.
I don't think I would. Because now here I'm thinking, like, you don't want Mitch Trubisky anyway. Like, eventually you're going to drop him.
Yes.
Or, you know what I mean? Here's $2 in fab. And if you don't want it, I'm good not even having this conversation to add Mitch Trubisky to my team, to be honest with you, because at that point, how good is my team going to be when Josh Allen goes down? In hindsight, if I'm not set up well enough to handle a Josh Allen injury, Mitch Trubisky is not going to help my team much more.
Fair point. Fair point.
But that's how I think.
True. True. I'd almost rather have him if I didn't have Allen.
Agreed. Yeah.
Yeah. You know?
But I feel like he's kind of a roster clogger for me.
Yeah, well, this time of year, those are the first guys that are going to get cut once you have to cut down for rookie. Is the backup quarterbacks. The guys, you know, are not starting, but that's actually where I think is a great opportunity for value is if you do have some roster spots. I mean, how many quarterbacks started last year? Was it 67 or 68?
Yeah.
You know, imagine if you had Jake Browning, a few Jake Browning shares.
Yep.
Yep.
That's easy profit, you know?
Yeah. Absolutely.
That's a great way to add value.
Or Dobbs. So yeah, to your point, that's the time to get out of Mitch is if there is even a 1 week Josh Allen injury. And as soon as that injury happens, you start sending out your Mitch Trubisky and you don't want a lot though. You're just going to get rid of him.
All right. For sure.
50 leagues. How?
About 40 too many for me.
How deep? Okay. 50 spots. In some of those leagues that you're in.
Yeah, it's my favorite.
Are those 10 to 12 team leagues? Are those Devy? Or that's
I don't have anything less than 12. Yeah, that's 12. And 14 is my sweet spot. I like
you're 14 rostering teams. 50 players.
Yeah.
Finero knows that drives me crazy. Like, get rid of the shitty players on your benches, guys.
Well, okay, I don't want every league like that. You know, but I mean, I have like three or four. That's less than 10% of my leagues, if you think about it. So it's really not that many. Can I say this real quick about Horford? Because people often ask, one of the most common questions I get asked is, you know, well, how do you even pay attention? Or how do you know who to root for? Or every play is affecting maybe six leagues, right? Or, you know, you might lose three on this play and win three on the same play. But to me, it actually had the opposite effect. I actually don't have to care now because there is no way I possibly can, right? Because there could be so many. It's a butterfly effect, right? Freakishly. That's what brought the fun back to football for me. Because when I was in four leagues, I'm really, oh my God, I'm rooting for that player. Sure. Every play was like, you know, life and death, right? And now it's like, I just get to enjoy the games. Let me just watch football and enjoy it and it'll all sort itself out.
And you're so addicted to Dynasty that there's a side where if you have like 2 to 4 leagues, you're going in those same leagues every damn day and you're trying to make these moves. And after a while, everybody's just annoyed with you.
Yeah. And then you just go to another league and annoy somebody else.
Yep. I agree.
Good advice.
Go annoy someone else.
Yeah. I like it.
Scott, is there anything you want to make sure you plug or get out there off your chest before we do get out of here?
I will just say, really quick, I know it's getting late, especially for you guys. You know, you hear the draft for value, trade for need, draft early, draft often, identify and diversify, all those different things. One thing for me that I would just encourage people to do, even though a main philosophy for me is draft quarterbacks and now tight ends and tight end premium leagues, quarterback value insulation is huge. So one little takeaway there, but most people, not all people, most people learn by doing. So the biggest jump for me in winning was actually trying to watch film, trying to understand some of the data, trying to put rankings together, trying to do projections, just trying it. Nobody has to see it. You don't have to, you know, live stream it. I'm just saying, just put it down on some paper, you know, open up a spreadsheet, whatever it may be. Try doing some of those things, and for most people it will really help you in some form or capacity. I don't know what that will be because everybody learns differently, but I promise you if you try a couple of those different things, a light bulb's gonna go off somewhere and you will be a better Dynasty player or Devy player or whatever floats your boat.
I agree. I love that. I think a lot of the people that are out here creating any kind of content at this point probably started some kind of project for themselves to make themselves better in a league. And then it slowly made them smarter, more confident, and to get out here into this world and attempt to help other people with the work we do.
Absolutely.
I love that. That's great advice.
Yep.
He finishes it with another great answer.
It was like a final thought. We haven't had a final thought.
It was like a final thought. I was going to call it a final thought. It was very final thought-ish.
I told you I'm getting lazy, Scott.
Hey, I'm a long time listener, fan of the show, so it's pretty awesome to be on here with you guys. Listening to your voices for years, 371 episodes, I believe. So yeah, pretty awesome, pretty cool moment for me. So I appreciate
you guys. Awesome. I appreciate
you. Yeah, man. Tuesday nights, Trade Addicts, and Thursday nights, Dynasty Junkies. Find us on the DAP network and check us out. We do a lot of this. It's more macro. It's more strategy. It's more overview. We bring on the experts too for some player takes, but this is what we like to do, man. More of the overview and getting into some different things. So love what you guys are doing. Huge fan. Appreciate you.
Man, I appreciate you.
Appreciate you back.
That is at @Scott_Sildo on X Twitter. As always, at Artmark TV. I am at Spike00G. This is at Rookie Theater. We are Rookie Theater. When you kiss me, when you hold me tight. Fever in the morning, fever all through the night. Sun lights up the daytime, moon lights up the night. I light up when you call my name, and you know I'm gonna treat you right. Rookie fever when you kiss me, fever when you hold me tight. That is something you all know. Fever isn't such a new thing. Fever started long ago now. Who got the 101 scouting? He's never done this to before and run. I told you anyone. Size and speed just on real landing spot. Not ideal. Wait, what's this breakout? It's full Rookie Fever stage. Romeo loved Juliet. Juliet, she felt the same. When he pulled his arms around her, he said, Julie, baby, you're my friend. I'll give a fever. When we kiss it, fever with our flaming youth. Fever, I'm a fire. Fever, yeah, I burn for soup. Got the fever, cause I got the fever, now you got the fever, so she got the fever, and he got the fever, no cure for the fever, so let's feed the fever, thank God for the fever, thank God for the fever. Fever, you got the fever, now 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 you got the fever,